Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and I'll be talking with Jonathan Mizell today. A couple of years ago, Jonathan and I had a long conversation, actually a multi-day conversation, about the subject of rolling out internet marketing campaigns. And after talking around and around about that for quite a while, we decided to sit down and commit Jonathan's ideas to tape. What do we call that thing, Jonathan? The rollout program? Or?
We call it Anatomy of an Internet Marketing Rollout.
There you go. Anatomy of an Internet Marketing Rollout. And that program had an electrifying effect on the internet marketing industry. Oddly enough, I think it was the first time that anybody ever sat down and listed in sequential order precisely what someone should do who wants to take a raw idea, test it, and then develop it safely, step by step, and project it basically as large as the idea could possibly go. This idea has been used by all kinds of businesses, large and small. It has helped people create businesses that produce $1,000 a month, $10,000 a month, $100,000 a month. You've consulted with some entrepreneurial clients now that occasionally hit $100,000 a day in product sales.
Yeah, which, in case you haven't got your calculator handy, is $30 to $40 million a year. Really some significant dollars using this rollout formula.
So this idea works. If you're a raw beginner, it's going to be useful to you. If you're an intermediate player who's trying to figure out how to bring your business to the next level, if you're already a big business, you're going to find something very interesting and useful about the material you're going to get here. As I mentioned, that tape was very popular, and it changed the way people looked at the internet. But times have changed.
Well, that's right, Ken. I mean, so much has changed on the internet. And, I mean, one thing, just let me throw it out there, is your system formula. We've really streamlined it and focused in on, I think we started out with, 10 steps. I think we now have streamlined it into the most important, most critical 6 steps in order to take a business and really roll it out in the greatest possible way. Can I define a rollout system?
Yeah, please.
A rollout is the process of scientifically and progressively increasing your sales by exposing your offers to the greatest number of prospects in the shortest period of time, with the least cost and with the least risk.
Wow.
A rollout processes have been done throughout, direct marketing history. I mean, in the early days of direct mail, rollouts were done using direct mail sales letters and magazines and periodicals and publications and all sorts of old style media. But what's nice is that the internet has really refined and helped us achieve this stuff a lot faster than we ever could have imagined it. Certainly better than Claude Hopkins or some of the earlier marketers could have imagined it. Just to give you an idea, some of the businesses we work with, we've seen them go 100, 200, 300% increase a month using these techniques.
And in a short period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the one guy we know who's doing 100 grand a day sometimes, I mean, he started out with 100 grand a month, and before he was doing that, I think he was making 100 grand a year. So, he's gone from a 6-figure to a 7 or 8 or 9-figure. I can't even count that many zeros on my hands. Literally selling the same product, using almost the same ad copy, just by using the rollout formula, just by creating a process by which to expose his offer to the greatest number of people using these techniques.
Wow. And I think there's two concepts I want to highlight that you mentioned. One is doing it safely. So we're not talking about mortgaging your house and crossing your fingers and throwing a whole bunch of money into the market and hoping for the best, are we?
You're never going to be out more than $500, and if you do it right, you're going to be getting that money back in sales. In fact, each step of the rollout process, the way we set it up, mm-hmm. allows you to basically create a self-funding advertising mechanism.
Wow.
If the first part doesn't work, the first step doesn't work, you don't ever have to go on to step two. You don't go on to step two until you're done with step one. And you only go on to step two after you've proved that step one is self-funding. So same with step two, same with step three, same with step four, until you get to the final biggie, the one that, you know, we'll talk about last. But the whole thing actually comes together beautifully if you follow the formula.
So you're saying that if I have an idea and I want to find out whether it has a chance to succeed on the internet or not, I can get that answer by spending around $500, give or take?
Yes, give or take. And, you know, if you do it right, if you're a good copywriter, if you have some understanding of marketing, you probably won't even have to spend that much. If you've got a mailing list or some business background behind you, you can maybe do the entire thing for free. The whole key is to find out whether or not the project has a snowball chance in heck of actually going forward, and also to pay for each step as we are following that step currently in the process.
So even as the business develops and gets bigger, and of course your ad budget gets bigger, it's all based on a foundation of knowing that, hey, we've proven that this promotion works to this group of people.
So, right, because how many people have you seen in your career, or me, I've seen in my career, who say, well, I've got $100,000 to make this project work, and then they blow through the $100,000, and they're out of money, or $1,000, or $500, or whatever.
Yep.
They've got, you know, some amount of money to spend that is a big amount of money, and they blow through it all. They never use a formula. They never make things self-funding. And then when they're out of money, they're out of money.
It's really a shame because, you know, with, you know, and I have seen people regularly, $100,000 seems to be a regular number that people blow. I mean, with that kind of money, you could literally test 100 to 200 different business ideas.
Oh, absolutely. And you could probably bring billions and millions of visitors into your website to actually see whether or not it's going to work. But you know what's so beautiful? Using this formula, you're going to know after about 300 or 400 visitors.
Wow.
If you don't make money off of the first 300 or 400 visitors based on the formula, mm-hmm. based on the process, don't waste your time going to step two or step three or spending any more money until you get that first step working.
Well, you mentioned wasting time as well as money, and I see that, and I'm sure you do too. Someone will spend a year or 2 years or more nursing an idea, and, you know, preparation's a good thing, but it's a little bit too long to spend on something. And I think one of the beauties of this rollout system that you have is that as soon as you have the idea, rather than letting it, you know, grow moss, you can actually start finding out, well, gee, would this thing really work in the marketplace? You don't have to wait around or speculate or wonder. You can start testing almost as soon as you have the idea.
Well, we call those hobbies, Ken. That's what people do for fun, not to make money. In order to generate a profit, you have to have a process, you have to have a system, you have to have certain things in place, and that's really what separates the businesses from the hobbies. The hobbies don't have to make money. The businesses do, and they actually have to have enough money to not only pay for themselves and to pay for all their expenses, but to then put some money back in your pocket so that you're rewarded for starting the business in the first place. Now, there are a couple things I want to talk about before we actually go into this formula.
Okay.
Because a lot of people who are listening to this probably sell a lot of different things. And in fact, there are people who sell products and services and books and information and, you know, consumables. And so there are really two, we'll call them warnings, so to speak, about this multi-step process. And the first one is, every market has a maximum saturation point. So you can use this process for anything. I don't care what you're selling, how big or how small your market is. But if your market is small, you will achieve the total domination over your marketplace rather quickly. For example, if you're selling something to parrot owners or World War I veterans, however many there are, you know, your whole universe of prospects is only a few thousand people. Once you reach those people, that's it. And this will help you get to that maximum saturation point. But be aware that the smaller that market, the greater that saturation point will occur earlier in the process. And the other thing is that everything we're doing here is based on tracking and on understanding your site's metrics or measurements. In other words, everything that you do, everything that you test, you have to be able to measure. And I'm going to give a couple of metrics here, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's important that everybody understand their conversion rate, first of all. And the conversion rate is simply expressed as the percentage of people who visit the site and buy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 100 people visit the site, two buy, you got a 2% conversion rate.
Okay.
Now, this is the simple idea. There are advanced things that I've done on testing and tracking, and we can even talk about those later. But the bottom line is you have to understand have an understanding of what your basic conversion rate is. And then the other one, which is a function of your conversion rate, is your visitor value. Let's take the same example.
Okay.
We take a 2% conversion, and you have a $100 product. Let's just, for the sake of argument, assume that it is a digital product and it is pure profit.
Okay.
For each 100 visitors who visit your site, you make 2 sales. For each 2 sales you make $100 each, so you make $200. Therefore, 100 visitors equals $200. 1 visitor equals $2.
Okay.
So your visitor value, therefore, is $2. And the reason that that's important, because a lot of people say, well, who cares what my visitor value is? The reason that's so important is that within this process, you're going to be buying traffic. You're going to actually be paying for it. And in order to create a self-funding advertising product,
mm-hmm.
or promotion, you're going to have to pay less than you earn.
Okay.
Okay? If you're making $2 a visitor and you're paying $5 a visitor to get someone in using a step one of the process, well, you're going to be losing money so fast that, you know, you won't be able to keep this up for very long.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're only paying 50 cents, then that means for each visitor who comes to your site, you're paying 50 cents and you're making $2. Let me throw that out at you a different way. How many $2 bills would you buy for 50 cents?
Right, as many as I possibly could.
As many as you possibly could, as often as possible. You would hire people to go get, you know, quarters and to put them into the machine to get as many $2 bills to spit out as possible. And that's really what this process is all about. It's about creating the self-funding mechanism and about measuring what's happening within each part of this process to make sure that it's working.
So you're really boiling the whole business then down to simple arithmetic, really.
Yeah, you know, I said in, and you said it too, in the seminars and stuff that we've done, we're not in the direct marketing business, we're in the math business, okay? And those who understand the basic math of your metrics, your measurements, your conversion rates, your visitor values, your sales, whatever you want to call them, those who have a handle on those simple metrics
mm-hmm.
are the ones who move forward.
So basically, if you want to do something on a hobby basis, because you love it or you think it's important or whatever, then none of this metric stuff matters. But if you're looking at your website as a business, then this is how you evaluate whether you're winning or losing and how to, most importantly, how to go to the next level financially.
Right. It's all about return on investment. Mm-hmm. Really, two things that you're going to have beforehand. You're going to have, I call it a killer sales letter. You could also call it a killer sales process or a killer sales piece. But you're going to have to have something on your website that converts customers or converts prospects and visitors into customers. And I'm not going to go into how to write ad copy. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there on how to write ad copy. But you're going to have a sales letter that already exists.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also going to have fixed at least the basic parts of any quality problems with your product or service. Because what will happen is if you do have a poor product, or if there's a problem with your service, or if there's some issue with quality, using a rollout formula is only going to expand those problems far faster than if you just kind of let the thing go out on its own.
So if you do have a strong letter or strong sales conversion process, this method will very rapidly build a big audience for whatever you're selling. And that's the reason why it's so important to make sure you have the ability to fulfill your orders, and that your quality control is up, and that your refunds and returns are under control. Because this thing is so powerful that you could literally, create a big black hole by taking an unsound business and amplifying its size very rapidly. But on the flip side of this, you've seen and helped and guided, again, hundreds of people to take very modest resources and turn them into, sometimes shockingly profitable businesses in a short time. So this thing that we're going to be talking about is quite powerful and deserves some respect and careful handling. Well, why don't we get started then?
Okay.
Now, you've boiled the process down from 10 steps and streamlined it down to 6. So what is the first step that someone should take? And they've got a product or they've got a service. They know they can deliver it in a satisfying way to the end customer.
And they have a sales letter.
They've got a sales letter or a sales process that's effective, which is the basic foundation of any direct marketing business. Now what do they do?
Step one in any part of the process, and we do this with every single one of our products, and yes, we have mailing lists and we have all sorts of other ways to promote, but we still do this because it is the most accurate way of gauging whether or not you're going to make money in the future. And the key is pay-per-click search engines. Pay-per-click.
Okay.
In other words, you are buying clicks from a search engine that someone has searched into a particular term in order so that they can find information that they're looking for. And let me talk about why pay-per-clicks are so important. The reason that search engine traffic gets such a good rap, the reason that people love search engine traffic, and it is so it converts such a high degree of people from prospects to customers. It is so responsive. More people opt in. People from search engines stay longer at your site. They correspond with you more. They're more interesting. They're more interested. They buy more. The whole gamut of what we would call a good customer. The reason that they are so effective when driven in from a search engine is that it is a proactive search. Let me explain what I mean. If I am at a website and I see a banner ad, that's what we call interrupt behavior. Or if I'm on a website and I see a pop-up, this is an interrupt behavior. This is something that I'm doing. I'm looking at some information, some content, reading something, and then something has broken my state of mind or interrupted my state of mind. Something like a banner ad or a pop-up or a text link. And it has created something in me, in my brain, that says this is important enough to click on. So I click away from what I'm doing, and I click over to see what this thing is all about. Now, no matter how you want to slice that, it's still a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I like. It's something that I was tricked, fooled, manipulated, seduced into doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested, but I'm not interested from the very bottom of my heart to the very top of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that I did. Mm-hmm. However, search engine traffic, especially from two search engines, findwhat.com and the big one, the one that I recommend everyone starts with, is Overture. Search engine traffic from these two search engines is not based on interrupt behavior. It's based on what we call keyword clickstream targeting. And let me explain what that is. If I'm interested in buying advertising, and I go to a website about dog training, and I see a banner ad about buying advertising, I've been interrupted and fooled and tricked into going over there, but I have an interest, so I'm going to read it through.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really ready to buy. What I'm really ready to do is read about dog training information
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
If, however, I go to a search engine and I enter in internet advertising, that's what I'm interested in right now. That's what I want to see right now. It's like the yellow pages. People don't find themselves wandering through the yellow pages looking at the plumbing section thinking that someday I might need a plumber and, God, I better you know, jot down some of the plumbers that are in here because I might need one someday. When I need a plumber, I go to the Yellow Pages and I pick up the phone and I call the plumber because I am ready to buy plumbing services.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have a problem, I have a pressing need, I have an urgency, and this is what I want to do, and I want to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
So think of search engines as Yellow Pages. They're based on the click-through, based on the targeting, based on the keyword that I enter in, that I am proactively searching for right now. Now, the nice thing about Find What and about Overture is that they do play into this keyword click-through, click-stream targeting, which I've talked about before, by simply requiring that the sites that they list have relevancy to what is being searched on. This traffic is so much more responsive than banner-driven traffic. It's so much more responsive than pop-up traffic. It's more responsive than anything out there because it is a proactive search that someone did on their own. And what we recommend is, and this is the very simple part, you can set up an account with these guys for like $25-$50. It does not take a lot of money to set up an account with a pay-per-click search engine. And when you do, I would recommend that you pick maybe 10 to 20 primary keywords, words that clearly describe your site and what you do, and then create a list of 50 to 100 secondary keywords. And so, for example, if you're selling a stock market trading course, you might have stock market as your primary keyword. You might have day trading as your primary keyword. And then your secondary keywords would be stuff like margin call or commodities trading, something that's related to it, but that's not exactly within that perfect sphere. And I'm going to recommend that everybody go to Overture and use it's called their keyword suggestion tool. And you just go into the advertiser section and you look for the keyword suggestion tool. You'll be able to find it right away. It'll give you an idea of how many searches there are for each one of these terms. So you can actually check. It's almost like cheating. You can see whether or not the thing that you want to target, A, has any inventory on it, and B, how much that costs per click.
Okay.
Now, the way they work is you write a description, and you give that description to the search engine, and it does not matter how many searches there are, the listing goes up based on how much you bid per click, and then you only pay when someone actually clicks through.
Okay.
So you're only paying for targeted traffic. You're bidding on your position, but you're paying based on how many people actually click on that and then visit your site.
Wow. So this is very unusual in the world of advertising because, you know, when you buy a space ad or a television or radio spot or send a direct mail piece out, you have no idea who's actually looking at that thing.
No. And with the pay-per-click search engine, you know that the people have entered in a relevant word, something that you're looking to target. So you do know something about them. But Ken, it's even better than that because you really only have to pay once they click through.
Once they actually have your ad right in front of their face, that's when you start paying.
So let's look at the process. You know they're interested enough to do a proactive search.
Mm-hmm.
You know they've searched for one of your words. You know they've then seen your description and your headline and that they've clicked through to get to your site. Now, would you say that this is a more or less than average qualified person?
More than average qualified prospect, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is someone who, if you can't convert this person, then this part of the process, you can just stop and you can go back and keep changing and tweaking your sales letter until you do. And here's the beautiful part about it. John Keel and I were talking about this, and he runs the paid search engine tool. I think that's the site.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, John, how many people do you think someone has to get into their sales page in order to get a good idea of whether or not their system will work?
Mm.
And he said, and I feel the same way, about 500 people.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 to 500, maybe a few more, maybe a few less. But the bottom line is you don't need to bring a lot of people into the site to see whether this is going to work. And the reason is because you know these people are targeted. If they're not buying, It's not the people. It's you and your sales letter.
Well, what's so amazing about this is if you compare this, let's say, to direct mail, you would have to mail to about, 10,000 people is a number that's thrown around a lot to know whether you have something that you can project on a large scale, because you don't know how many of those people are even going to see your letter. I mean, they'll get it and they may just throw it away. And so you have to imagine the cost and the expense of creating a mailing piece and sending it out to 10,000 people to find out what you can find out on the internet for a few hundred bucks maximum in a matter of days.
You're right. In fact, you could use this to test a sales letter that you wanted to send out as a direct mail piece. Direct mail is not cheap. You're looking at about a buck and a quarter to a buck and a half to send out an 8-page sales letter. Mm-hmm. When you count postage and printing and labor costs and then the cost of a list and then the cost of dropping it and all the inherent costs and then fulfilling the orders, because of course they have to come back manually, as does anything that's sent out non-internet has to be processed non-internet,
right.
You're looking at $10,000 or $15,000.
Yep.
And so, literally, even if you're paying a dollar a click, let's just say that, man, you can't get clicks for any less than a buck, and you're gonna have to bid a buck to get the clicks in. Who cares? You still are gonna have 500 real visitors who have proactively searched, who are very interested in the topic that you're looking for, that you're selling, the topic that you're targeting. And quite honestly, if you can't convert them, turn off the traffic and go back to your sales letter and change it. Change the headline. Change the offer. Change the guarantee. Change the price. Change whatever you have to do in order to make that letter sell, and then throw more traffic at it. More targeted traffic from the search engine. And what you'll find is, if you've written a good sales letter, if you've targeted properly, most people make a few sales. Maybe they make 1%, so they get 500 visitors, and they collect some opt-ins because they have a little pop-up or a e-zine or something, and maybe they make 4 or 5 sales. Well, that is not a bad thing. That's actually a very good thing, because what it means is they have broken the barrier to making the first sale with highly qualified traffic.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing that can happen is that you don't make any sales. And the second worst thing that can happen is that you make a whole bunch of sales, because you had absolutely no idea why that happened. Usually, if you're making sales right off the bat, and you haven't tested this thing elsewhere, check for a flaw in your system. You know, we've had clients who were going to charge $197 for something, and their shopping cart was only charging $1.97.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, this is really where you start to pinpoint all the processes that you're collecting customers with, and making sure that all your links work, your order form works, your pop-ups are working, your shopping cart is working, your autoresponders are working. So this is really the most important step, and it's the step that allows you to establish your metrics using the rollout formula.
Okay.
Because what happens is, let's say you get 500 people in, and then you turn off the traffic, add up your sales, and let's say you make $500 worth of sales.
Okay.
Say you have a 1% conversion rate, and you got a $100 product. In essence, what you've done is you've got a visitor value of $1, and you now know approximately what a visitor is worth to you. And at that point, you can continue to buy more traffic. In fact, you should. You can continue to look for other search engines and other sources of targeted search-driven traffic. But look, this stuff is starting to dry out. And if that's all there was to the rollout process, well, gosh, we'd be done. And all you could do is make a few thousand bucks a month. The fact is, Ken, you can do significantly more than that. The pay-per-clicks are just the very first step in the process, and they are where you test your letter, test your offer, and establish your initial metric. Pay-per-clicks are just the very first step in the process, and they are where you test your letter, test your offer, and establish your initial metric.
Excellent. Excellent.
So you get an idea of whether or not this thing is going to work.
Okay, so let's say I've got my product, I've created my sales process, I've bought some
pay-per-click traffic. I've run through enough people to establish a visitor value, so I know...
It's profitable.
And it's profitable. Right.
In other words, you're paying for the traffic something less than what you're earning.
Okay. So now I know...
That's when you know you can roll out to the next level.
Okay, great. All right, so now I'm done with level one. Of course, I'll keep buying and using all those keywords. Why not? Because
Right. They're
making me money. But now I want more. I realize I'm converting quarters into dollars, so I want to do that more often. What do I do next?
Next, what you do is you go to the free search engine. And, I don't want to date this, so I'm not going to say that there's... At one time there were 100, and then there were 10. And, at this time there's only a few search engines left that are real search engines. These are search engines that you can manipulate, that you can actually create a page based on a keyword, submit it for free, and then get the thing ranked and get some traffic into it. Search engines are not something to ignore, and I'm going to recommend that everybody go to searchenginenews.com and that they go to searchenginehelp.com and they pick up products and learn more about manipulating search engines. Because there still are traffic opportunities available there. But you don't want to spend your time and energy on them until you know you have a saleable product.
Gotcha.
Right? And so, because you could spend, easily a week or two on that second step, just getting some pages manipulated and optimized and set up for the very best positioning for your top keywords. And that stuff is great to do, but only after you know you've got something that sells. So that's why I say, do the pay stuff first, get the traffic in, and Ken, let me tell you why I'm saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, and to you, and to a lot of people listening to this, time is worth a lot more than money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about losing $500 nearly as much as I care about losing a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If I'm going to spend a week of time manipulating search engine rankings, drive traffic into a site that doesn't make any money, I've just wasted a week.
Mm-hmm.
So give me a site that makes money, that has the good headline, that has the good offer, and I'm done. It's a whole lot easier for me to start to do a search engine work on a page like that than it is for me to take a page that I'm probably going to have to change anyway, and I'm going to lose my rankings anyway because the thing doesn't sell.
All right, so after you've done your pay-per-click, and you've established your metrics, and then you go out and either yourself or working with a trusted vendor, you've grabbed a couple of key free search engine positions that are also paying out. That's good. You're getting all the search engine traffic, but aren't there other ways to get traffic, and what should be the next one that you focus on in this process?
Well, the next one is... People may listen to this and they won't understand why we're recommending it, but trust me, I'll get to the reason that we're going to recommend that you do this next step here. The next step is to buy small run banner ads and pop-up ads on highly targeted websites.
Mm.
In other words, you're going to go to the search engines. You're going to go to the directories and all the other places that have the traffic that you want, and your first step is going to be to contact them and to simply ask them if they sell advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Do they sell advertising? Do they sell banner ads? Do they sell pop-up ads? Do they sell text links? Is there any sort of advertising that you can buy? Now, you are going to do this with the expectation of making a profit. But there is a far better reason to do this, and it relates to the very last step, which is the biggie. The main reason you want to do this is because you want to create, develop, test tools, tricks, copy, banners, pop-ups, graphics that actually drive traffic into your site. You want to create tools that actually you can give to people that they will run for you, and you pay them for this. You pay them when you buy advertising, and you don't have to pay a lot for it. I'll give the prices that we pay, and of course these change all the time, but we like to pay a few bucks per 1,000 impressions, for most pop-ups or banners. We don't like to pay much more. The key is not necessarily to make a lot of sales. I mean, you definitely want to make sales. But what you really want to do is you want to be able to establish the metrics of these tools. You want to be able to know with authority that this pop-up ad gets 4% of the people who see it to click through. That this banner ad gets 1.5% of the people who see it to click through. That this text link or this email ad actually works. That it gets people in the door so you can start doing the selling process. And the advertising source, the site, simply acts as a conduit between you and the customer. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Now, let's say you are getting a lot of clicks, but nobody buys. If that's the case, and you've already spent some money on advertising, we like to drive our advertising. We'll change the landing page for that and just send it into an opt-in form and try to use this as an address collection device. And at that point, we might go back and tweak and change the letter. Remember, this traffic's not going to be as responsive as traffic that comes in from a search engine. It's not going to be as responsive as traffic that comes in from a pay-per-click because you're using interrupt behavior. You're using tricks and kind of, you know, fooling people into clicking. So your response rate's not going to be quite as high. That's your visitor value is not going to be quite as high. But again, you're not looking to create the big windfall here. All you want to do is develop tools, and it's important that you pay to develop the tools. You don't want to make one of your affiliates or one of your revenue share partners test these things, because if you do, they're going to run it, you're going to be using them as a guinea pig, and they're not going to make any money, and then they're gone, man. You know, so, you've just alienated a partner.
So really the whole purpose then of step three is not to get rich buying banner ads and pop-ups, but to test banners and pop-ups that you can use with partners later on.
Right. And, okay. And the same with step four, which is opt-in email, is to find e-zines that are out there, to find publications or newsletters that are electronically delivered, or any sort of electronic publication, anything that's sent out by email that does solo mailings or solo ads or standalone ads.
Okay.
And to just buy some advertising and to get people interested in running this ad to start sending you traffic.
Because then let's say you were to buy some ads on a or one ad on a newsletter, an e-zine, and you were to discover, wow, the e-zine has this number of circulation and it generated this many visitors and this many sales and my value, customer value was X, visitor value was X, then you could take those numbers to any other related e-zine and offer a joint venture? Is that
right. All this stuff does is it gives you data and it gives you, we'll call them selling points that you're going to use in step five and ultimately in step six when you do the big giant rollout, so the one that generates the massive amounts of traffic. Really what you're trying to do is develop tools, techniques, tricks, banners, pop-ups, things that you can give to partners to run for you. But if you give them to partners on a revenue share basis before they're tested, you'll alienate people. So this is just why it's so important to, you know, figure out what works. And it forces you to have a lot of integrity, which you should have anyway, because you wouldn't go to somebody and say, hey, you're going to make a bunch of money if you run this banner ad, or you're going to make a bunch of money if you run this opt-in ad. I mean, you pay for it. Pay for it, bite the bullet, what is it, a few hundred bucks maybe to buy a standalone ad, and then count the money and look at the metrics, and then when you are approaching people, instead of saying, well, I think this might work, or this could be a good ad, or this banner may pull in some traffic, you can say with authority, we ran this banner, it generated this many clicks off of this many impressions, and it made this many sales, and the partner made this much money. And that's what you want to be able to do. You want to be able to really hold that out as a metric that people trust and believe in.
So you're basically building your case that you're going to take to people who control valuable traffic as to why they should do a revenue share with you on their traffic, basically.
That's exactly right. Because look at it this way. Those people have traffic,
mm-hmm.
and they need money for it.
Mm-hmm.
And their biggest concern when working with someone is that they're not going to get paid. When I get something from Yannick Silver to go ahead and to do a promotion, he doesn't say, run this ad and you'll make some money.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hi, Jonathan. I ran this ad with so-and-so, who has a list very similar to yours. He sent it out to 12,900 people. He generated 4,755 clicks, and he got a 2.8% conversion rate, generating 405 sales, you know, which made X number of dollars for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who are sophisticated marketers, who are the ones who ultimately you want to work with, they want these numbers. They want to know what kind of click-throughs they're going to get. They want to know what kind of visitor values you're generating. They want to know what kind of opt-in rates are going on. They want to get this data so that they can make an informed decision whether or not they're going to give you their traffic.
Gotcha. So after you've proven your concept with pay-per-click, and you know that it works out, the arithmetic works out, then you grab some more search engine traffic. Then you start experimenting and developing marketing tools, sales tools, and getting numbers for those too that you can then use as, I guess, a calling card, really, to contact people that control traffic that you would love to have access to. You know, so for instance, if you're selling, you know, baseballs or something, wouldn't it be great to have access to the world's biggest baseball website? Well, how do you get that access? It sounds to me like you get that access by knowing your numbers and showing up with a whole suite of advertising tools that are already ready to go and proven.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's go into step five.
Okay.
This is where it starts to get really interesting.
Okay.
This is before you really take the thing into a super rollout formula where you are just cherry picking your partners. Just cherry picking them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
These are once you have the tools that work, once you know that this banner generates this much click through and that this kind of traffic is as responsive as this kind of traffic, and you have a fair understanding of what's going to happen when you do a part of this marketing process, then you can start saying, God, I want to work with this guy or I want to work with that guy. And that's when you start taking a look at your competitors, is taking a look at your partners, taking a look at the people who control the same kind of traffic that you're looking for, and maybe they sell a competing product. You know, Alex Mandosian had a really great idea, and I sure love it, and we've used it in the past very successfully, and that is, I've got some really great, super hot, responsive sales letters, but the very best conversion rate I've ever seen is about 5%.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to get more than 5% of the people to actually buy something,
mm-hmm.
which means that 95% of the people are coming to your site, not buying, and leaving.
Mm.
And so what I've done and what a lot of people have started to do is I've said, well, gosh, if they don't want to buy from me and they're not going to opt into my list, I'll put a pop-up on there and I'll pop up a competing offer,
mm-hmm.
an offer that competes with mine.
Mm-hmm.
And why not?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have some of the pie than you know, none of the pie. And if I have partners out there or people who I can convince to do this with, it's only because I have metrics and backup information that I can give them and say, look, run this as an exit pop-up and you'll make X more dollars per day or X more dollars per week. Or run this to your opt-in list, or run this to your, you know, as a pop-up, or put this in your e-zine or something like that. What that does is it gives them an offer that's going to make them more money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important to understand that someone who's in business is in business to make money. Now, that sounds simple,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of people lose touch with that concept because their ego gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Or they say, I could never do business with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't promote my competitors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, if someone comes to your site, they don't buy and they don't opt in, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You might as well take mm-hmm. a commission. You know this person's interested. They're just not interested in doing business with you. So get over the ego nonsense and let those people, make a couple of sales by putting a pop-up on your site. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how you approach them. Some of the people will voluntarily do a mailing to their list. Some will put a pop-up on their site. Some don't sell anything. You know, I just talked to a fellow who sells supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And he found a site that was a huge informational site that had all this stuff about supplements, and the guy wasn't selling anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what do I tell this guy?
Mm-hmm.
I said, simply call him up and say, do you want to make some money?
Mm.
He's not selling anything right now. And tell him you want to buy advertising. And if he doesn't want to do it that way, and you don't have your tools tested, see if he'll go ahead and agree to put a pop-up or a banner ad or something else on there, and see whether or not you can help him make money, and he will therefore make you money at the same time.
It's surprisingly common, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there are still big pools of traffic out there that have not been optimized for making money.
Yeah, absolutely. We found guys who, number 2 and 3 for popular stuff on big search engines for listings for certain phrases, they don't sell anything.
Wow.
And all these guys get a ton of traffic. Well, we talked to a guy a few years ago who had a listing on Yahoo, number 2 or number 3 for the phrase MP3, and all he had was a little links list. And what did he get for it? He got a bill for bandwidth at the end of the month because he had 60,000 unique visitors a day coming through there.
Wow.
He wasn't selling anything. You know, he had the most successful links list probably in the history of the internet, and all he had to show for it was a $1,200 bill at the end of the month for bandwidth.
So what you're basically bringing these people is an income opportunity, a plug-in income opportunity that you've already tested and tried out, and you know it works. It's kind of like going to a store owner who's got, rent to pay and employees to pay and light bill to pay, and you come in and say, hey, I've got an item here that sells really well, the profit margin's really high, and the guy down in the other next town is selling it, and he's doing really well. Why don't you try selling it? That's pretty...
And you can make it easy for him, too. You don't say, I want you to build this end display and then hire a graphic designer to make a sign and then help me out with the packaging. What you say is, just put this little display on your counter and you'll make an extra $100 a day.
Boy, that's an easy thing to grasp.
And that's all you're telling someone to do who's a JV partner. You're saying, just put this little code on your website and you'll make an extra $50 or $100 a day, depending upon the amount of traffic that they have.
Oh, excellent.
Now, once you've cherry-picked the partners and you know what's going on, you have a fairly good idea about how the process is going to work and how the offer is going to convert, and how traffic is going to get there. Then it's time to do the big one, and that is start an affiliate program.
Mm-hmm.
Start a revenue share program. And what happens is if you've got a responsive offer and you've cherry-picked a couple of really hot sites, especially those that get traffic, because you know a lot of the competitors and people are going to those sites as well, then when you have an affiliate program, you just announce it to those top sites and a few others.
Mm.
And quite honestly, once someone starts seeing an offer out there again and again and again and again and again, they're going to know that there's something to that offer, and they'll join your affiliate program and they'll run it.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee it. It's happened so many times with my clients and with me and with other people. They say, how do I get in on that offer? How did that, right, again, I don't want to date this, but there's an offer running right now I think it started out on one of the pay-per-clicks, or it started out on one of the smaller portals, and it was a pop-up, and it was paying, I think, $22 per sign-up.
Wow.
And it was a software offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed recently that MSN started to run it, and I know that these guys don't buy advertising. They do everything on a revenue share basis. So they had it on MSN. And then I noticed it on Excite.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed it on CNN recently.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw it on Yahoo. And I thought, my God, these guys have got the biggest sites on the internet running this pop-up for free.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have to pay after sales have been made.
Wow.
So that's really the big daddy. That's really the big kahuna. It's having an affiliate program that people can join that pays out a commission that's high enough so that that traffic that people send over gets turned into money and returned to them.
Wow. And that having a process like that is really a passport to basically any level of a business that you want to do. You know, in other words, if you want to, if you have a product or you somehow want to be on CNN's site and on Yahoo's site and on all these high traffic sites, your cost of admission is developing a sales process that they can use to make really big money from. And if you can do that, they'll open the door and let you right in, right? No one's going to ask for your credentials or, I mean, your credentials are your metrics and all your sales tools.
Exactly.
So this is a very, this is a very equal opportunity type of industry.
Well, it gets even better than that. You know, let me rephrase what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
It's an equal opportunity industry,
mm-hmm.
but it's not for everyone. Not everyone can do it. And that is, if you're not a marketer, okay, I mean, this is really for marketers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a marketer, if you don't understand direct response, if you can't write a headline, if your pricing's wrong, if your guarantee is bad, if your offer doesn't stand on its own, you probably won't get past step one.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you somehow do get up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, your lack of metrics, your lack of conversion rate and
mm-hmm.
visitor value
mm-hmm.
will be the only thing that stops you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's flip it over. If you are a tester, if you are in the math business, if you understand your metrics, if you are better than anyone else at converting that traffic and making more money with it than everyone on the internet will reward you by giving you an unlimited amount of that traffic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll find CNN and MSN and every one of these sites running your pop-up. Plus, you'll also find, you know, a gazillion other smaller sites running it as well. Because everyone wants to run an offer that makes them money.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is looking for someone who's a sharp marketer to give them creative and to give them offers that they can put in front of their audience to turn into cash.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the old model, Ken, the one that we used back in 97, 98,
mm-hmm.
you know, Yahoo was out pitching people and buying
right.
and buying advertising. But as that market dropped out, as that whole thing just dried up, Yahoo now has to find a different way to make money, and it can't find people to buy advertising anymore. It can find a few, but it certainly can't find as many as it could back, you know, when every kid had $100 million to
mm-hmm.
spend.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, Yahoo's got to make their money based on performance.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to choose pop-up ads that don't perform.
Mm-hmm.
They're only going to choose the ones that perform and perform well.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that perform better than any other pop-up ad, or banner ads that produce more profit than any other banner ad, or email offers that produce more money than any other offers. And these guys are in business to make money. And so honestly, all you're doing is appealing to their self-interest and helping them make more money with their traffic by giving it to you. You know, when they say affiliate programs, the bullet I always use in my sales letter is how to get your biggest competitors to send you their best traffic risk-free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what an affiliate program is. It's people sending you amazing traffic, the traffic that they want to convert so they can turn into money. And consequently, they're using the tools that you developed, that you've tested with your own money, at your own time, at your own expense, that you've created in order to do that. So really, what you're doing is you're helping people give you their traffic.
Mm-hmm.
That's really how this whole thing works. And then your offer is converting that traffic better than anything else that they could give it to. Thus, they're happy to do it.
Now, we've talked about doing this on a grand scale, getting CNN and MSNBC and Yahoo involved, but this works at all different levels. You know, for instance, this would work in a smallish niche market, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about this. No matter what your industry, there's going to be top sites. Now, if you're going after a general interest market, you know, the be-all, end-all is Yahoo and, and CNN and all those big sites. But let's say, you know, you're selling something like, I don't know, tennis supplies, tennis rackets, something like that. You know, there is a top site that deals with tennis. In fact, there's 10 top sites. And so what happens is if you're able to help them convert that traffic to dollars better than anyone else, they'll go ahead and they'll run your pop-up and your banners and your offers on their site. The guy that's making $30 million this year, when he looks at his products, and which are available elsewhere, which are not unique, not particularly special products. I mean, what's special about what he has is his marketing, but he never in a million years thought that he'd be able to grow the thing as big as he did.
And he's selling basically a commodity, right? I mean, it's selling a commodity. It's nothing, you know, super unique or proprietary.
But what differentiates him from all of his competitors? His sales letter. And how has he developed such a good sales letter? He's tested. And how did he test? He put targeted traffic into the offer, and he tweaked, and he continuously changed, and he continuously refined, and he found that some stuff worked better than others, and he kept that, and he integrated it. And before you know it, everyone else, all of his other competitors, had a visitor value of 30 or 40 cents, and he had a visitor value of $2.50 $2.75. I mean, he had a visitor value that was 8 to 10 times that of all of his competitors. So even after he paid the commission, just based on his commission, these guys, his competitors, and this is how he did it, and we'll reveal this to probably in a separate tape set, but his competitors make more money sending him their traffic than by trying to convert it and sell it themselves.
Oh, so he's essentially taken over all the traffic, all the intelligent traffic for his entire marketplace.
He dominated his marketplace. Wow. And he simply done it by, here's how it happened. What happened was, this one competitor started sending him exit traffic. You know, it started sending him pop-up traffic. And before you know it, the pop-up traffic converted better than the regular traffic. And that's how it starts. And then the guy said, well, forget it. I'm not going to try to sell these things at all anymore. I'm just going to give all my traffic to him. And then before you know it, he's like, God, I should just become his partner. I should just start working with him.
Wow.
And that's what happens when all your competitors, you know that you've achieved this level of rollout successfully when you've done a great job with your marketing and all the people who formerly feared you and who hated you are now calling you, wanting to run your offers and wanting to do deals with you.
Wow.
And that's what the affiliate program, the be-all, end-all, actually gives you.
And it all comes from this six-step rollout formula that you just revealed to us.
Yeah, and I, a lot of it, Ken, a lot of that credit, I have to say, goes to you with your system, because the system training really helped me refine it down to the very top six steps. So, you know, as you thank me, I thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I hope everybody listening to this has grasped the essentials here. This is the fruit of the experience of somebody who's not only done many of his own projects, but seen and participated in hundreds of internet promotions. So while there are a million and one tricks to learn, actually the business is simple if you can find the right person to guide you. And Jonathan, this is a huge contribution to the industry. I expect that this refinement and revision of the rollout program is going to create even more success stories. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Ken.
Okay.